everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob producing and engineering our show on the other side of the glass. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is Tuesday, October 30th. Exciting week here at KVOI. On Thursday, all the excitement begins as we go all local talk. Well, pretty much during the day, anyway. But you'll hear more about that certainly in the next 48 hours. We are coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted news and local talk. Let's get on the live line right now and go to Phoenix. Former Arizona Attorney General Grant Woods is with us. Former Attorney General and, of course, longtime confidant, colleague of the late U.S. Senator John McCain. Grant, how are you?
I'm doing good, Bill. It's good to be with you.
Thank you. Always a pleasure. You wrote in the op-ed piece in the Arizona Republic back on September 23rd that the celebration of Senator McCain's life and the giant hole left by his death has caused me to reevaluate my own life. How so, Grant?
Well, you know, I think we knew that this was coming with John for most of the year, or certainly the five or six months prior. But then when it happens, you know, it's you're not really prepared for that, or how you're going to feel, or how it will affect you. And for me, I think his death, and then all of the, amazing response from around the country and around the world that happened in the week after that, really struck me and affected me profoundly. And I think that probably the main, a few things. I mean, certainly, I concluded. What I guess I always knew but didn't say enough, and that was how lucky I was and how lucky we were that John McCain came to Arizona, and that he was part of our lives and that he was our senator. And then it made me reflect on where we're at and am I doing enough, basically. John was all about duty, honor, and country. Those were just words that drove his life. It drove everything that he did. It was a sense of duty and obligation to serve his country. And I feel that I've done that in my life. I did run, and I served as Attorney General for 8 years. And I've certainly been active in supporting good candidates, especially John McCain, over the years. But now he's gone, and the country and the world, I think, is in a lot of turmoil. So I just have to decide, is it okay to stay on the sidelines now, or without John around, do I need to step up and do something, whatever that might be, run for the Senate, or maybe there's some other way to serve. But I'm feeling like I have a duty to do more than I'm doing right now.
Let me ask you, did your mentor, Senator McCain, talk to you about this and perhaps a run for U.S. Senate or something else?
You know, not so much. He was always been supportive of anything that I did or wanted to do. I think he'd be excited about just the prospect, but we didn't really talk about it because, you know, for most of the time, we were hopeful that he was going to make a comeback, and, we knew the odds. John knew the odds were really slim with this terrible disease. But we also knew that if anyone could do it, it'd probably be John McCain. And I'd say right up until probably early summer, late spring, that's when we kind of saw it going a different direction. And, then at that point, I didn't want to talk about that. And frankly, it wasn't on my mind. What was on my mind was just spending as much time as I could with John, and also just contemplating the magnitude of his life.
Let's talk about how it would work if you did decide to go for senator. Would you change parties? Would you become a Democrat? Would you run as an independent? What are you thinking right now?
Well, I'm thinking that those are the options. I mean, I could try to run as an independent. I think that suits me, frankly. I've never really been that crazy about either party, just because I could be if they actually stood for something or stood for what they claim they stand for, but they generally don't. It's been my experience anyway. Or I could move into the Democratic Party, where I think, you know, I haven't really changed my views on hardly any issues over the years, one here or there. But my views on the issues when I was Attorney General are my views today, pretty much. And those are more in line with the kind of mainstream Democratic Party than they are with the Republican Party of Donald Trump right now. So I think I would be comfortable there. So that's what I have to decide. The problem with being an independent in a Senate race is I just don't know if that's possible. You know, there's so much money in a Senate race. And if I was successful, let's just put it this way. Let's say we get to Labor Day and I'm right there. I got a shot at this as an independent. Every negative ad you're seeing now on McSally or Sinema would be aimed at me. So it would be double the amount, you know. And that doesn't sound too great. I think it would be great until election night, and then that wouldn't be so great. So you know, I'm still thinking that through. I do think you could run for governor as an independent here. I don't think there's as much money there, and I think Arizona might be interested in that. So, you know, that's a possibility as an independent. But I think for the Senate, if I'm going to do this, I think I switch parties and just go, you know, and see if that's what the Democratic Party wants, if they're ready to win, and see if that's what Arizona wants.
You know, it's going to be very interesting, Grant Woods, to see how this is going to go. If McSally does not win her bid to become a U.S. senator, and then you have Senator Kyle, who said he's basically a placeholder. So what happens then? Who does the governor appoint?
Well, you know, it's funny because that was another complicating factor of all that time when we were back in Washington for the services and celebrations and memorials there for Senator McCain. Was all that speculation was going on about who the governor was going to appoint to his seat. And according to all the great informed sources, I was on that list. But my own view was, how would they know? How would anyone know who's on a list? I mean, it's only one guy here, you know. This is the poll we're taking. So I think now, as far as who he will appoint, I'm obviously very interested in that. That would be my opponent in a general. I don't know, you know, who he's going to appoint. I guess the speculation, there's plenty. His chief of staff, Kirk Adams, he could appoint him. If McSally loses, I guess he could appoint her. That would seem to be rather an odd decision to me. But, you know, the people have spoken, and now I'm going to appoint the person who lost. But, you know, it's up to him. I mean, it doesn't really matter what anyone thinks. Whatever he wants to do, it's his choice. So I don't think people really know for sure.
So your timetable, you're going to see what happens, obviously, see what goes on at the first of the year, I would assume.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. There's a few things here. We need to see what happens in the election, and then we need to see who the governor appoints. And, you know, in the meantime, I'm talking to as many people as I can, Democrats. I've had just, I don't know how many, dozens and dozens of meetings now, just to see what their reaction is and, you know, where they're at. I'm definitely not going to try to cram this down anybody's throat. That's not my goal here. My goal is, you know, what do you think? And, you know, would you want to be part of this? And is this something that that we could do together and win this thing?
All right.
And if that's not the case, then I wouldn't do it. You know?
I'm going to wrap it up, but I want some quick predictions from you. In the McSally Sinema race, who wins?
You know, I think it all comes down to turnout here. I think Sinema wins. But if Democrats stay home and independents stay home or just do their average run-of-the-mill lame effort in non-presidential years, then McSally can definitely win this. It's very tight. I'm going to say Sinema wins.
And in the state races, the major races, you would see any Democrats making inroads?
Yeah, I think that I don't know. I mean, the Republicans could win all the races state through the state races, but Katie Hobbs has got a real shot, I think, at Secretary of State. I think that's probably the best shot. I think that race is very tight right now. The Republican gainer is, you know, he's new. No one knows anything about this guy.
Right.
Except he loves Trump. I mean, I guess his main thing, I guess. And maybe that'll be enough. But Katie's been around a long time. She's been in the legislature. And she's got a shot at that, you know. And okay. I just urge people, however they're going to vote, take a look at that race because, as you know, I mean, every decade we get a governor who was elected Secretary of State.
Yep. The quasi-lieutenant governor right there. So there you go.
Yeah, I know, but people don't think of it that way, you know.
They don't.
But they should. So they ought to take a look at this. And Katie's run a good campaign. I think she has a shot, but I think otherwise the governor's going to be reelected here handily. And, you know, he's run a very disciplined, strong campaign, and he's, you know, so he'll have a good time on election night.
All right, Grant Woods, let's talk again, okay?
That'd be great, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks
I appreciate
a lot.
It.
Grant Woods, former Arizona Attorney General, deciding what he is going to do, what role he will take re-entering the political arena. Mo, I want to tell people about Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's located at the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. That's the place to go right now if you're looking for lunch, and a great sandwich is always prepared by Steve and the gang up there at Mona's. Mona's the home of the Danish Kringle, and the bread that you will be served on, that sandwich will come on, came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Great location, great food. Strongly recommend Mona's Danish Bakery. You can go to my website. There's a link to Mona's Danish Bakery on my website, buckmastershow.com. And they're also at monasdanishbaker.com. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us Wednesday for Marana Mayor Ed Honey. Also, award-winning Tucson Weekly columnist Brian Smith. He'll be talking about his new book, Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030. KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk. Worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And I'm going to consult with Shelley Fishman right now. Shelley, how are you, sir?
I am well, Bill, and back in studio after a couple of weeks. So,
yep. Good to have you.
It's great to be here.
Well, you know, this is volatility with a capital V on Wall Street. Yesterday was one of the biggest swings in many, many years.
Yeah, over 600 points intraday.
Wow.
And I believe it was 8 years since we've had an intraday swing of that many points. And, of course, the market wound up very much lower.
We are in correction territory.
We are. Both the S&P and the Dow Jones are in correction territory based upon the highs in September. And when we take a look at this much volatility, it's hard to say on any given moment, you know, where we are. But in general, we're about where we started the year. So we've been... You know, very high at the end of January and then pretty low again, but we're about where the year started.
Can the correction be healthy?
Corrections are always healthy. We've had, I wrote this down. Let me just get this sheet so I get it exactly right. Since the bull market started, which is March 10th of 2009, we've had 12 drops of at least 5% and 5 corrections of at least 10%.
Wow.
So what we see is even within a rising market, we do see these corrections. They are very healthy, they're required, and they're nothing to panic about. Unless you have something fundamental in the economy or in the market that is changing, and that can be shown to have caused the correction. But in this case, there are lots of contributing causes to this volatility, but no one thing. I mean, we don't have any bubbles bursting around us.
We have an election coming up. We have interest rates could be raised in December. So today we go up over 300 points, but who knows?
Exactly. So the effect of elections, we ought to get this kind of out of the way. Elections always create uncertainty, especially midterm elections that typically go in the opposite way of the party in power. What we have seen in the past when the Republicans are in power and the Democrats look like they're going to take control is we get some concern on the part of businesses because it seems evident that tax cuts and regulation, loosening regulations are going to possibly be reversed or halted. What's interesting is after Democrats take over, for a period of time, the market goes up. And in fact, when we take a look at market performance over the past 60 or 70 years, markets do better under Democrats. And in fact, of 11 recessions since the end of World War II. 9 of them have been during Republican administrations. So some of these results are counterintuitive, and I would suspect that whatever the results of the elections, the market will shrug it off by the end of the year.
You know, I want to call our listeners' attention to the business section in the Arizona Daily Star. Do it yourself financial planning under the personal finance category. Some good tips there.
This is a great article. Now, you say you're a financial planner,
right,
Shelley. Why in the world
would
you be
pointing people? Could that be competition?
You bet. So the worst kind of interview I have with a potential client is somebody who comes to me at the mid-50s, has done absolutely no planning and is looking for miracles. So from the perspective of a financial planner, you know, if a person comes into my office with $1 million worth of assets to invest, their kids are already out of college, and they have been doing financial planning all their lives, that's just perfect. They're going to make money. I'm going to make money. Everything's great. 25-year-old comes into my office in the first job, isn't married, and is looking to do planning. I scratch my head and say, you know, over the next 20 years, your life is going to change dramatically 17 times. How can you
at
plan?
At least.
Yeah. How can you plan?
Yeah.
But there are some things you should be doing.
Right.
And those things don't necessarily require a sophisticated financial planner. There are things that you can now access online and through the robo kind of planner functions that you can get from many of the broker dealers that will really give you the kind of help you need to get started with your own financial plan and allow you to see what you're comfortable with, what you can afford. You know, if you're working with somebody like me at a young age, yeah, we're going to talk about insurance. We're going to talk about 401ks and getting involved in your employer's retirement plans and all of that. But there's no great wisdom there. These are well-known things. And so I would say anybody listening who is 40 years old or younger should read this article, because what comes out of this article is the need to do planning, the need to do what you can to secure your own financial future and to get wiser and wiser and better educated in these areas. Then at some point, you know, if things work out well for you, you'll know when to seek the guidance from somebody like me.
There's some really common sense things here, like starting with setting a budget. Create your own little rainy day fund.
Yeah, they talk
for
about
yourself.
$500.
Yeah,
it's amazing how many people in this country don't have, and the number that was in all the press reports was, don't have $400 set aside for an emergency.
Oh my goodness!
And what you should have, of course, is maybe 3 months of expenses set aside. Now you say, well, wait a second. I've got 17 kids. I'm 18 years old, and I'm in an entry level job. How in the world can I do that? It's very difficult. I get it that it's very difficult, but it is really something that should be in the back of your mind, because things do go wrong in this world. And when they do, the last thing you want to fall into is the need to max out your credit cards at 18% interest, or the need to get into debt situations that you can't get out of, or bankruptcy, or the kinds of things that just disrupt your life. So regardless of what your absolute earnings are, and you know, say, well, I'm not making a lot of money now, or whatever, you should be thinking about, within the constraints of my personal circumstances, what can I do as an individual to begin to think in terms of the future and my financial future? And that kind of rings true with this article. And what the article does, I think very plainly, is say, here's where the resources are. If you get into trouble, here's some other resources. But if you're not in trouble and you're looking to plan, this is a good way to start. And I agree with every word of it.
If you're investing $1,000 in your 20s, it will grow to nearly $10,300 after 40 years.
Yeah, Albert Einstein said one of the strongest forces in nature is compound interest. And he was right.
So really common sense things. And I didn't realize that the average person doesn't even have, say, $400 to cover some kind of
a couple of months ago, that that statistic was published. And it is kind of shocking, but I believe it's true.
All right, Shelley Fishman, where can people find you?
Best way to find me is on buckmastershow.com, and hunt me down as one of your guests, and then push the button, and it sends me an email, and I get right back to
you. And you would be delighted to sit down and talk to people about their financial future. And a point that I will make, very important point, everyone's future is different in the financial realm or in any realm.
That's exactly right, Bill.
All right, Shel, have a great week.
You too.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. I'm passionate about travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. And when I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With 9 airlines flying nonstop to 22 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient with competitive airfares, and there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. Support for the program comes from Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River and just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Check out Green Things for all of your gardening needs. They're on the web at greenthingsaz.com. And when you're over at the 13-acre site, take a look at Zocalo Village. Very cool. 5 shops now at Zocalo Village. With all that great merchandise from Mexico, they're going to have the really now until November the 15th, when the grand opening is happening. You can tour the facility 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. daily. Stop by for a complimentary glass of wine while you're over there. And coming up on the weekend of November the 9th, Mata Ortiz Lectures and Sale of Mata Ortiz Pottery, that great pottery from Chihuahua State in Mexico. Again, greenthingsaz.com. David Layton joins us now. David writes the Street Smarts column, one of the most popular columns. I know I certainly look forward to it when it comes out in the Arizona Daily Star. David, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, and as usual, thanks for having me on.
It's always a pleasure, and I want to give the number 790-2040 because there are always folks who are curious about, well, how did that name come about? And you were mentioning something about Brandy Fenton Park right before I did the Green Things mention. Who was Brandy Fenton?
Well, Brandy Fenton was actually the daughter of John Fenton, who was killed in a car accident, and they named the park in her honor. So it's just kind of interesting. I'm currently working with John, Rob, and Randy from AF Sterling Homes on a new subdivision they're working on. They asked me to name a couple streets in the new subdivision. So it's actually kind of cool that we were talking about the park and one of your advertisers here, and that kind of came up, and I mentioned that. So, they did the guys over there at AF Sterling Homes had asked me to name a couple streets in their new subdivision that's on Tucson Boulevard and Prince Road. It's just a small piece of land that was owned, as I found out, by the Ronstadt family. Kind of interesting. So I did a little history on the property itself, and I found out that actually in 1923, Lupe Dalton Ronstadt, who was the wife of the famous Fred Ronstadt, bought the land, a nice piece of property out there on the northwest corner of Tucson Boulevard and Prince Road, from Gennaro Manso. And I think he's the father of Richard Manso, who Manso Elementary School is named after, if I'm understanding that correctly. I believe that's correct. So he actually owned the land. He was a early pioneer himself, and he sold the land to his friend, or the wife of his friend, Fred Ronstadt. So it's kind of interesting because the Ronstadts have lived on that property for quite a while, since 1923. They did develop a small subdivision called Sierra Vista Acres back in 29, and they maintained one or two of the plots of land. And A.F. Sterling Homes did come in purchase the property recently to do a small development. So that's how I got asked to help name a couple street names there. So just kind of interesting history when you look at the Ronstadt family, because I don't think many people are aware of the fact that they own property out there and developed a small subdivision as well. So that in itself is a little bit of history. So just kind of digging into that and doing some research on
that. Give me the location again, or where is this property?
It's on the northwest corner of Prince Road and what is it again here? Tucson Boulevard.
Okay.
So northwest corner. It's a little piece of property. There's a few homes on it currently. they've tentatively come up with the name Los Sueños for the new subdivision. It's called The Dreams, Los Sueños. So I would suggest maybe another name related to the Ronstadts, but that's still being discussed at this point. By the guys there, John, Rob, and Randy. So hopefully you have some neat street names coming up here, and I can do an article or two on it.
But. Well, that's very interesting because one of my favorite painters, one of the iconic painters of early 20th century American West, Maynard Dixon. The great Maynard Dixon.
Right, the great painter, yeah.
Had his home over in that area at Prince and Tucson Boulevard. And from what I understand, when Maynard Dixon lived here in the early 40s, he was very good friends with the Ronstadt family. And I'm just sort of putting two and two together because the connection with that property.
It's entirely possible.
You might need to check that out.
I might need to investigate that
Dixon
as well.
House.
Maybe name a street after him as well.
Yes, and Maynard Dixon, I believe, died here in Tucson in 1944. He had a fabulous career. Some of the early Sunset Magazine covers. You know, you're going back to like the teens, 1915 and all that. But of course, Maynard Dixon went on to become one of the great American Western painters. So you have to check it out.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I think some of his paintings or reproductions of his painting are at the train depot as well.
Right.
Downtown. I think I've seen those in there, the rather large paintings and stuff like that. It was definitely a well-known guy in Tucson.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it's kind of an interesting thing here.
Medicine Man Gallery has some a great collection of original Maynard Dixons, which are extremely pricey. I think some of them have gone at auction at over $1 million. So, I mean, he's up there in the stratosphere of American Western painters. All right, so when it comes to naming a street, I wouldn't even know where to begin there. I guess you're going to try to tie it into the history, right?
Well, you know, I just finished doing some research and giving it to A.F. Sterling Holmes here, you know, the connection between the Ronstadt family and that little piece of property that they purchased for a subdivision. So for me, it was mostly going through, like, land deeds, homestead records, subdivision plat maps, you know, just to kind of provide the proof that the long history of the Ronstadts were there at that particular subdivision. You know, I always thought maybe like Ronstadt Village might be kind of a neat name just because the Ronstadts had owned mm-hmm. and lived on that land up and from the 20s up until like somewhat recently. I don't know exactly when it was sold to F. Sterling, but somewhat recently. So it was kind of a fun kind of historical research and stuff like that I did for a potential, you know, potential street names or subdivision name and stuff like that. There's also a street named by A.F. Sterling Holmes called Robert DeRue. He was actually, as we discussed before we went on the air, he was kind of a well-known attorney based out of New York who used to winter here and brought his family here and stuff like that. So there's a Robert DeRue Drive off there. I think it's off of Sweetwater Drive.
How is that spelled? DeRue?
I think it's D-A-R-U.
Okay.
Hopefully I'm pronouncing it correctly.
All right.
So that's John Fenton's grandfather on his mother's side. So kind of neat, you know, the what we do with our street names and who we honor and stuff like that.
Yes.
So hopefully that'll be a upcoming Street Smarts article here in the popular column. So,
all right, 790-2040. If you have any curiosity about a particular street, perhaps the street where you live, and you're curious about the name of how that street name came about, give us a call at 790-2040. And we're ready with caller Lauren. Lauren, you're with David Layton of The Star. Go ahead.
Good afternoon, sirs. Thank you. I have a question about Cloud Road out just off of Sabino Canyon Road. We lost a good man here recently, William H. Wooden, who was the, I think, first director at the Desert Museum. Now, I think from what I gather, he had 100 acres of pristine natural native desert out in what became Cloud Road, and my understanding was he had to have the road built to get into his homestead. That's all I know. Was Cloud Road named? How did Cloud Road get named?
So Cloud Road was named for Joseph Cloud, who was a property owner. The road, when it was first built, was not very long, and it actually ended at his property. So if you followed Cloud Road out east, he owned the property where it hit, I think, one of the waterways or something like that. But it actually ended at his property, and he was one of the people that petitioned to have the road turned into an official county road. So it is actually named for Joseph Cloud, who had property out there.
All right, next question coming in. The caller did not have time to stick around, but my wonderful producer, Bob Dio, has taken the question, and the question is, where did Craycroft, the name Craycroft, come from?
So Craycroft Road was originally called Kenyon Road.
Kenyon, K-E-Y, or K-E-N-Y-O-N?
Yeah, Kenyon. There's actually another Kenyon, too. I don't know if it's named after the person, same person, but there was a developer named Zabulia Kenyon. I believe it was a female who developed some property out there in the very early 20s. She named it likely after herself or her family. Frank Craycroft, who was owned the Frank Craycroft Plumbing store on Toole Avenue for many, many years, actually bought property out there on 4th Street and Craycroft, what's now 4th Street and Craycroft. He built this beautiful home, and it was considered like one of the nicest homes in Tucson. This is about 1924, 1923, so very, very early on. And after a while, Kenyon just took on the name Craycroft, likely because people would just say, hey, go out to Craycroft's place, or people would go out Speedway because Speedway was the main artery out east, and then go down south, and you would go down to Frank Craycroft's house because there really wasn't much out there. So it is named for either the Craycroft home or Frank Craycroft himself. The home still actually exists. It's on 4th Street and Craycroft. Again, it's on the east side of Craycroft. There's now kind of a wall around it, but the home still exists there. If you Google Craycroft Road and David Leighton, L-E-I-G-H-T-O-N, you can actually see a picture of it, what it looked like then and now what it looks like now online, if you want to check that out on the Arizona Daily Star website.
Oh, it's so much fun to talk about the history of there's a story behind every street name, and it's always exciting. David, stick around. We're going to do another segment with you, but right now I want to tell people about my favorite bakery in town. David, do you like bakery goods?
You know I do.
Well,
I love to eat.
There you go. Don't forget Mona's Danish Bakery for your Thanksgiving. You're featuring, of course, all your pies. They've got the rolls, the pastries. How about quiche to brighten your Thanksgiving table as well? So Mona's Danish Bakery, certainly want to thank all of our Buckmaster Show listeners at the northeast corner of Swan, and they do a great job, Swan and Sunrise. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, 579-1959, or visit their website, monasdanishbaker.com. We'll be right back. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improved regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Travel smart and fly Tucson. Check out flytucson.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We're watching Tucson.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from the Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, one of my favorite segments with us, the host of one of my favorite segments, David Layton. He writes the Street Smarts column in the Arizona Daily Star, which is a very popular column talking about the origin of some of these street names that we have here in Tucson. Before we resume with David, the number is 790-2040. If you would like some information, hopefully David will be able to reach into his vast archives and give us an update on how that particular street you're curious about got its name. But first I want to tell people, David, about Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. Have you been over to that part of the world?
You know, I have not. I've been to Las Cruces, but not
okay.
Silver City.
So. Well, check it out the next time you're over in that beautiful portion of the southwestern United States and southwestern corner of New Mexico. It's only a three-hour drive from Tucson. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you'll find the complete listing of great places to stay and many recreation opportunities in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And I'm just guessing, David, that Silver City has something to do with silver. Because actually, William Randolph Hearst had, I believe, a silver mine in that area of New Mexico.
You know, that would be illogical for the naming of that city, unless there was somebody with the last name Silver that founded it. That
and
would
then
be logical.
The Grant County, I would guess, would be after former president Ulysses S. Grant.
That would be my guess as well.
Civil War names, we've got a few of them here in town, don't we?
We do, actually. Quite a few on the east side there on Camino Seco and Broadway. I think we touched on this just a little bit last time I was here. Bill Estes Jr. Actually was a history buff. And so his father, Bill Sr., was developing some property out there. I think it's on like all four corners, actually, of Camino Seco and Broadway, if I'm remembering correctly here, have certain street names related to the Civil War. But those names were created by Bill Estes Jr. of what became, it was originally Estes Brothers Construction Company, but it's it would later became Estes Homes. But he did name those at the request of his father to name some Civil War streets out there. So there's a bunch of different street names out there related to the Civil War. Farragut is one of them.
Farragut, who was like an, I'm going to guess, an admiral, I think.
Right,
I think the Union Navy or whatever.
Yeah, his father was Jorge Farragut Mescada, who was a Spaniard served in the South Carolina Navy during the American Revolution.
I knew there was a naval connection.
Yeah, there's a naval connection, and of course he was adopted by David Porter, who's another, I think there's a Porter Avenue, a Porter Place. That was his stepbrother, adopted by that same family. But I think he attained the first person to obtain the rank of full admiral was Farragut. So he has kind of an interesting history. And I talk a little bit about the role that Hispanic Americans played in the Civil War. I don't think a lot of people are aware of this, but I mean, there were approximately, at least according to one source that I believe is accurate, there was about 10,000 Hispanic Americans that participated in one way or the other in the U.S. Civil War.
I did not know that.
Yeah, it's not a well-known fact. Farragut was probably the most well-known Hispanic American there, but you also had trying to think of some of the names here. Now, Texas sided with the Confederacy, so most of the Mexican Americans in that state sided with the Confederacy, not all. New Mexico territory tended to go with the Union on that one there. So, one of Demi Lovato's, the famous singer Demi Lovato's, like great-great-grandfather, was a regional lieutenant colonel. I mentioned it in the article if anyone wants to Google David Layton and Civil War street names. That should pop up. And I think I think it was a colonel or something like that. It was Demi Lovato's like great-great-grandfather or something like that.
You know, we're talking about Grant County, New Mexico. Probably every city in the United States has a Grant Road for President Grant.
Well, except for Tucson, obviously.
Yeah,
Tucson, right. Tucson doesn't have a Grant Road. That's named for John Breck Grant.
Really?
A local homesteader. Yeah,
oh,
that's one of
gosh.
The things. Yeah, and all these.
I was assuming. See, never assume anything there, Bob.
Yeah, I think part of it's because
wow.
because Lee Street is just a few blocks south of there.
Okay.
So people just naturally
just assume
Grant
well.
And Lee. And Lee, of course, is named for Frank H. Lee, who was a local pioneer.
There you go.
And, you know, in the early 1900s, 1910, 1920s, 1930s, almost everyone was getting into the land development deal.
Yeah.
Land was so cheap. Tucson was growing so quickly. That everyone was buying up land and getting into it. Even like Frank H. Lee worked with Ruel J. Adams, if I'm pronouncing correctly, and also Mose Drachman. And that's why you got Drachman Street, Adams Street, and Lee Street.
Well, that's why we're here, to learn this information. And it's always fun. Okay, let's go to Terrence. Called us at 790-2040. Hey, Terrence, what's on your mind?
Yes, I wondered if you had any information on Delano Street, D-E-L-A-N-O.
Okay.
No, I know where it is. It's near. You're talking about the one street that's near Oracle Road, somewhat near Oracle Road.
Yes, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it's not too much farther north than Pima Community College downtown. I have seen that one, and I wondered if it was named after Franklin Delano Roosevelt, but I don't have any real information on that. Unfortunately, I apologize.
And there is a Delano, California. Which
right.
is over in Kern County, California, in the Bakersfield area. So don't know if there is a connection to that. I understand you'll be taking part in this genealogy how-to event, Exploring Family and History. That's coming up November 11th, 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. at the Arizona History Museum.
Correct. I actually will be giving an hour-long talk and PowerPoint presentation related to some of the most popular street names in Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm on there from 12 to 1. I believe the time was, I think it was 12 to 1 or possibly 1 to 2. I can't remember what time it was. But I'll definitely be part of that there. We've also got Bobby Jo Buell, former chief editor of the Arizona Daily Star. She's going to be talking about the USS Arizona, the individuals that died in there and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that. So that she'll be one of them. I think some of the other historians that write for the Arizona Daily Star, like William Escarza, who does Mind Tales, Jan Clear, that writes Western Women. So there's going to be quite a few people out there. Newspapers.com is one of the sponsors of the event, where you can look up old newspapers and stuff like that. Really, really helpful, actually,
and
in
the
research.
The Arizona History Museum is located at 949 East 22nd Street. And again, that is on a Sunday, November 11th, around
Veterans
9:30.
Day.
Yeah, 9:30, 10 o'clock till about 3:30 in the afternoon. Let's see if we can work another quick question in from a listener who wants to know about Rancho Vistoso. Do you have any idea about that one?
Right. Rancho Vistoso, if I'm remembering correctly here, it's up there on the north side of town off Oracle.
Yeah, there Oral was, Valley.
Area. Yeah, Oral Valley area. Uh-huh. Yeah, there was actually a ranch called Rancho Vistoso.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, I don't have a lot of information on it, but I do know that the guy that owned the other ranch, and I can't think of a name up there in, near Catalina. There's a fire department. Golder Ranch. Yeah, Golder Ranch. Well, Mr. Golder actually owned Rancho Vistoso for several years. That's about the best I can do. There was actually a ranch called Rancho Vistoso, which where the subdivision gets its name from. And I know Mr. Golder did own it for a few years. That's about the only information I have on that.
All right. What's coming up in the column, the next column?
The next one coming up here is on Longfellow Avenue. That's coming up the first month of the next month here. And the next one that I'm working on is the one mentioned previously Robert Deneau here, who was the famous attorney. So that'll be probably the next one I'm working on after that.
And we'll have to save Laca Yucca Road, and Donald Millstone will tease that for your next visit. You can tell us all about that.
It's a great street name up on the west northwest side of town, yeah, in the middle of nowhere. But it's kind of a funny story.
I want to hold that one over because we need more than about 10 seconds to do that one justice. All right, David Layton, thank you very much. We'll look for your work, Street Smarts column at the Arizona Daily Star, and your one-hour talk that's coming up on November 11th at the Arizona History Museum. Thank you, David.
Cool. Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show, 12:04 tomorrow for our Wednesday edition. My thanks to Bob Dio, my engineer producer. We all hope you have a great afternoon and evening. See you tomorrow.